Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 12 April 2026, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So verses 38 and 39 now so far sound like this. So certainly I, the spiritually mature believer, stand convinced that neither death nor life, category number one, neither angels, that's demons, nor the rulers of angels, Satan and demon generals, category number two, neither present things nor future things, category number three, neither powers, category number four, neither heaven nor hell, category number five, nor any other created thing, category number six, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, and we stop there, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the genitive singular of the article. Tase plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of Christos, Jesus, plus the dative singular of kurios with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Now, very important right off the bat here. One, we have a very special use of the article in this clause. Now, Dana and Manti, their Emmanuel Grammar of the Greek New Testament on page 152 tells us that in our verse, Romans 8:39, the definite article functions as a relative pronoun. Very important. It functions as a relative pronoun and is correctly translated which. Which what? Well, thank you for asking. Two, which virtue love of God the Father is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Which virtue love of God the Father is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And that's en Christo Jesu, in Christ Jesus, to kurio hemon, our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. So, which virtue love of God the Father is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Three, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment of our salvation, we are entered into union with Christ by the baptism of the Spirit. So you, at that moment of your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit took you and entered you into union with Christ. This is called current positional truth. Every church age believer is in union with Christ. Current positional truth. 4. Since God the Father loves God the Son with an infinite and eternal virtue love. Since God the Father loves God the Son with an infinite and eternal virtue love, He also loves all those who are in union with Jesus Christ with an infinite virtue love. And all of us, in the church age, at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes us, enters us into union with Christ, and therefore, He loves us with infinite virtue love. So since God the Father loves God the Son with an infinite and eternal virtue love, He also loves those who are in union with Christ with an infinite virtue love. 5. So we have the virtue love of God the Father from two sources. We have the virtue love of God the Father from two sources. First of all, God the Father loves His righteousness. God the Father loves His righteousness. And we have His righteousness. At the moment of our faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to us and declares us to be righteous, justified, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. So God the Father loves His absolute righteousness, and we have His absolute righteousness imputed to us at the moment of faith in Christ. And therefore, God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love. That's first of all, the first source. At the same time, secondly, we are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. At the same time, we are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. And since God the Father loves God the Son with an infinite and eternal virtue love, He also loves those who are in union with Christ with an infinite virtue love. So we have virtue love from God the Father from two sources. First of all, God the Father loves His absolute righteousness. We have His absolute righteousness imputed to us at the very moment of our faith in Christ. And therefore, God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love. And then, secondly, at the same time, we are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. And since God the Father loves God the Son with an infinite and eternal virtue love, He also loves those who are in union with Christ with infinite virtue love. All right. That concludes Romans chapter 8. And now the Apostle Paul, we have something totally unique that you just don't find in the Word of God. A parenthesis that is 3 chapters long. A parenthesis, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, 3 chapter parenthesis. But before we get to that, let's get the corrected translation of Romans 8, 28 to 39. Romans 8, 28. In fact, we know that to the ones who love God, that's the key, the ones who love God, those are spiritually mature believers. The ones who have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. To the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to the predetermined plan and purpose of God. Verse 29. We know that the ones whom He, God the Father, foreknew. And here we have the 5 steps to glory. Step number 1, foreknowledge. The ones whom He, God the Father, foreknew, foreknowledge, He also predestined. Step number 2, predestination. To become conformed to the appearance of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren, the royal family of God of the church age. Verse 30, and whom he predestined, these same ones he also called, elected to privilege, step number 3 in the 5 steps to glory. And whom he called or elected to privilege, these same ones he also justified, declared righteous, step number 4. And whom he justified, these same ones he also glorified, step number 5, the 5 steps to glory. Verse 31, what then are we to conclude to these things? These things referring to the 5 steps to glory, Romans 8:28-30. If God is for us, first class condition, and he is, who is against us? Verse 32, the God, God the Father, who did not even spare his own Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but on behalf of all of us, he delivered him over to judgment. Most certainly, a fortiori, with much stronger reason, he will also with him graciously give to us the all things. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against, or who will accuse the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather the one who was raised, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, God the Father, the ascension and session of Christ, who also intercedes for us as our defense attorney. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the virtue love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, mental pressure, or persecution, religious persecution, or famine, being deprived of food, or nakedness, being deprived of clothing, or peril, dangers such as tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or the sword, war and military suffering? Verse 36. As it stands written, quoting Psalm 44:22, for your sakes, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep for slaughter. Undeserved suffering for blessing that the winner believer faces. Verse 37. On the contrary, in all these things, the sufferings of Romans 8:35-36, we are winning a most glorious victory through him, God the Father, who loves us with infinite virtue love. So certainly, I, the spiritually mature believer, I stand convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels, demons, nor rulers of angels, Satan and demon generals, neither present things nor future things, neither powers, neither heaven nor hell, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right. Romans 8 is in the can. Now, some of you think it's time to say amen and go home. Wrong. Okay, there's chapter 8. It's in the can, but not to worry. If I can make it over here, I'll get chapter 9. Ta-da! All right, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. All right. At this point in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul introduces a major parenthesis. And this major parenthesis is 3 chapters long, chapter 9, 10, and 11. All right, so by way of introduction, 1. Having been a famous Jewish unbeliever, before he ever placed his faith in Jesus Christ, He was born Saul of Tarsus. He wasn't born Paul. He was born Saul of Tarsus. He was a religious leader, a Pharisee in Israel. And he actually rounded up Christians and took them in to be executed. He said of himself, "I am the worst sinner who ever lived." That was Saul of Tarsus. Then he believed in Jesus Christ as the Savior. And he has the amazing heart for the Jewish people. So, by way of introduction, having been a famous Jewish unbeliever, one of the religious leaders, a Pharisee, turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Philippians 3, verse 5. Circumcised, he's talking about himself now, describing him. Circumcised the 8th day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. One of the Pharisees. And look at verse 6. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And he rounded up Christians, brought them in, and had them executed. 2. Paul always had a burden for the Jewish people. He always had a burden for the Jewish people. But they were not to be the objects of his ministry. Paul always had a burden for the Jewish people, but they were not to be the objects of his ministry. 3. In fact, just the opposite occurred. Just the opposite occurred. The Jewish people, the Judaizers, they followed Paul all around the world, trying to destroy his ministry. In fact, just the opposite occurred. The Judaizers, the Jewish religious leaders, followed Paul all around the world, trying to destroy his ministry. 4. But the power of God overruled. Paul's ministry was a ministry of grace and truth. Paul's ministry was a ministry of grace and truth. And regardless of his failures or his sins, and he even said of himself, "I'm the worst sinner who ever lived," God protected him from the Judaizers. They tried to destroy Paul and his ministry, but God protected him from the Judaizers. 5. Paul understood very clearly that while he was burdened for the Jewish people, his ministry would be primarily to the Gentiles. Paul understood very clearly that while he was burdened for the Jewish people, his ministry would be primarily to the Gentiles. So we have this parenthesis, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Tells us that the Apostle Paul totally understood and believed that God has a unique plan for Israel and for true Jews. In Romans chapter 9, Israel, in part, is selected. In Romans chapter 9, Israel, in part, is selected. In Romans chapter 10, at the present time, Israel is rejected. In Romans chapter 10, at the present time, Israel is rejected. In Romans chapter 11, Israel in the future is accepted. The Apostle Paul totally understood the uniqueness of Israel and the Jewish people. So by way of introduction to Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, this huge parenthesis, we're going to start out and study the doctrine of the uniqueness of Israel. The doctrine of the uniqueness of Israel. So point one, the racial uniqueness of the Jew. The Jews are a totally unique race. The racial uniqueness of the Jew. The Jews are a totally unique race. Now let's amplify that. First of all four post-diluvian races began with born-again persons. Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Abraham. All four post-diluvian races began with born-again persons. Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Abraham. Subpoint two, Shem, Ham, and Japheth are the sources of all Gentiles. Shem, Ham, and Japheth are the sources of all Gentiles. Abraham is the source of both Gentiles and Jews. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth are the source of all Gentiles. Abraham is the source of both Gentiles and Jews. Three. Abraham is descended from Shem. Abraham is descended from Shem, but became the first Jew. He became the first Jew at the age of 99, at the moment of his circumcision, as a spiritually mature believer. Abraham is descended from Shem. That's what we get from Shem, the Semitic peoples. But he became the first Jew at the age of 99, at the moment of his circumcision, as a spiritually mature believer in Jesus Christ. 4. Jews, Arabs, and other groups in the Middle East make up the Semitic peoples from Shem. They are the Semitic people. Jews, Arabs, and other groups in the Middle East are from Shem. They are the Semitic peoples. All Semitic peoples are Gentiles except the Jews. All Semitic peoples are Gentiles except the Jews. 5. The line of the Jews goes through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, believer in Jesus Christ, born again. Isaac, a believer in Jesus Christ, born again. Jacob, a believer in Jesus Christ, born again. Those are the true Jews. True Jews are regenerate Jews, born again Jews. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Subpoint 6, the Jews are a unique race. They were unique in their origin, and they are still unique today. The Jewish race was founded on regeneration. Regeneration, being born again. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed in the Lord, believed in Jesus Christ, and it was imputed to him, reckoned to him as righteousness. He was justified by faith, salvation by faith, not by works. He was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So he believed in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and it was reckoned to him, credited to him as righteousness. Verse 4. Now, to the one who works for salvation, his wage is not credited as grace, but as what is due, debt. But to the one who does not work, but simply believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness. So this makes it very clear. There's a lot of people that think they're saved by their works. No one will be in heaven because of the works that they do. Justification is not by works. Justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And if you are trusting in your works to get you into heaven, you're not going to be in heaven. You'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Justification is one way. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That is the grace gospel. That's what Abraham. He simply believed in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, start at verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. There's a difference between true Jew, regenerate Jew. That's what he's talking about. They are not all Israel. They're not all true Jews or regenerate Jews that are descended from Israel, that are racial Jews, false Jews. So we have true Jew, regenerate Jew, true Israel, and those who are racial Jews who are false Jews. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of promise who are regarded as descendants. For this is a word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose according to his choice might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved. Here are twins. Jacob believed in Jesus Christ, a true Jew. Esau, his twin, I hated. He was an unbeliever. He did not believe in Christ. So the basis is on regeneration. So the Jewish race was founded on regeneration. 7. So God developed a new race through regeneration, being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. God developed a new race through regeneration. All right. Well, this is just getting us warmed up. This is a very, very important doctrine of the Word of God to nail this down, to understand what's going on in this parenthesis, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And you have to understand, we're going to start out in chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, he is so burdened in his soul because there's so many Jewish people that he knows are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because they refuse. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the grace gospel. But Paul has a tremendous burden in his soul for these people. And there were some marvelous exceptions of those who believed in Christ as their Savior. And that's fantastic. But for the most part, at this time, they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the fact that he was the Messiah. They refused to believe in him for eternal salvation. And that just broke the Apostle Paul's heart. And we'll see that in chapter 9. But before we get started in that, you have to know this doctrine. All right? With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Florida.